ننظر ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له نشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما انفقوا من اموالهم. Brothers and sisters, I'm very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saying that we praise Him. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be praised. We seek Allah's refuge, we seek His guidance, we seek His help. We depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Him. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah the Almighty, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and His servant. We make dua, ask Allah's peace on His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, his great companions and Muslims everywhere. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, I always like to remind you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whoever Allah guides cannot be misguided. And whomever Allah allows to stay in the darkness, you will stay in the darkness until Yawm al-Qiyamah if Allah doesn't bring you out with His mercy. Brothers and sisters, I want to leave with you today a short khutbah, but potent, especially for the men. I just want to focus our attention on one part of an ayat of the Quran. Just one part. But powerful. Allah says in Quran, and brothers, I would suggest that we read this verse over and over again. Over again. And then more. Today. And tomorrow. I intend to read this verse every day. Insha'Allah. This month in Muharram. A new year, 14-13. This is a new year for us. I want to live this verse, and I want especially then to live this verse. To me, brothers and sisters, this verse that I'm going to recite today is one of the absolute keys to the success of marriage. Everyone should be very tuned to this verse, because brothers and sisters, it is not the problem alone of the Muslim's marital relationship, but it is indicative of the problems all over the world, and it has also found its way into our ummah in a very bad way. So we need this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in His Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرجال. Stop. The men. Every man should open his ears. What is Allah going to say about me? الرجال. The men. قوامون على النساء. You are the maintainers, the protectors, the providers, the superintendents, the managers of the affairs of the women. Now, that's a responsibility, so wait. Take it, brothers. This day, take it. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Because Allah has preferred one over the other. And the part of that ayah that I want to emphasize and focus on today, وَبِمَا أَنْفِكُوا مِنْ أَوَالِهِمْ, and because they spend out of their property. And of that verse, I want to focus on two words, مِنْ أَوَالِهِمْ, from their wealth. This is what I want to talk about today for a few moments. But I want you to get it, brother, and get it well. Because this will be the key, in my opinion, a major key in the success of your marriage. And even to repair your marriage. For those whose marriage is on the brink. I want to say this first, brothers and sisters. Everybody in this world, sooner or later, is going to bear witness. Every word in the Quran is the word of Allah. And every statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want us, brothers and sisters, to have absolute faith and confidence in Al-Quran. Absolute faith and confidence in every word of the Quran. And in the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The theme of today's khutbah is this ayat of Quran: الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. And the sub theme is this statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you is he who learns Quran and teach it. Everyone will bear witness to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the Quran, not only is it the word of Allah, but the Quran, everything in it is natural. And there's nothing in the Quran that's unnatural. There's nothing in the Quran that goes against human nature. Nothing. Everything in Quran is absolutely in accordance with human nature. Everything. And if you resist any verses from the Quran, it doesn't mean that it is against human nature, but it means that we have gone against human nature. And it shows how sick we are. And we need Al-Quran. We need Al-Quran. Every one of us needs Quran in everything we do, because brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, America is an unnatural place that have made people unnatural and taken them away from their nature. American environment has taken the people away from their very nature. And no longer do they act like themselves anymore. No longer do men act like men. Men act like women. And women act like men. This is the nature of the American people. Yes. Even women who don't want to be men act like men. Even women trying to be themselves have lost themselves following after white America, following after European America, following after the system of America. Women, many of them working outside of the home, executives, have lost their nature. Because they're living in a man's world, and they're trying now to live and compete in a man's world. And then when she go home to a man, she forgot how to be a woman. Yes. Because she can't go back and forth. She can't go to work and act like a man and then come home and try to be a woman. She forgets her nature. So now the Quran has to bring her back to her nature. And man has to be himself and demand and command for her to be back to where she's supposed to be. The way Allah created her to be. For this world have transformed the women and transformed the men. Most of the men in this society are real wimps. No, they don't act like a wimp in terms of macho. Macho don't mean you're a man.
You have to watch for the hide the fact that you're limp. Because you don't know what it's like to be a man until you go gram, and then let Allah shake you and form you again, and let Prophet Muhammad, the real man, shake you how to be a man. Because a man don't mean muscle. You want the definition of man? I'll tell you the definition of man. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the definition of man. You want to know the definition of man? Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa sallam. You want to know the definition of man? Prophet Jesus. Those are the definition of men. And you want to be a man? Pattern yourself after the conduct of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses. These are real men. And not these that we see running around here. They're males, but they're not men. Females, but they're not women. How do you know it? The nature of woman is found in Quran, and the nature of man found in Quran, and found in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we have a problem. The problem is that many people profess the Quran. They profess Sunnah, but they don't follow Sunnah, nor do they follow the Quran. We want to take the Quran from the theory of practice. Theory. Most of us are believers by theory. We believe in the Quran by theory, but practice, Many of us don't adhere to the wisdom of the Quran and Sunnah. I'll give you an example. I'm just going to deviate for a moment from the topic that I really want to give you, just for a moment, to bring this point in. I said to you, everyone will be forced to bear witness from the Quran, subhanAllah. I read a book the other day about body language. It's a wonderful science. People don't have to open up their mouths. They tell you a lot by their body language. How they sit. How they move their eyes. Body language tells you a lot. If you observe, you look at people, they tell you a lot. So this scientific book on body language was letting us know, how do you know a woman is interested in a man? And they had pictures. And they said, when a woman is not interested in a man, she keeps her eyes down. She don't look at the face of a man. This is what the book says, when she's not interested. But when she begins to show interest, she moves, turns her body towards the man, and then she looks about the face. But he knows that he got her when she looked at him in the eye. So Allah said in Quran, tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their modesty. Why? There's a scientific fact, man. When you look at the woman in the eye, you're giving her a message, you're giving her a signal, and she's giving you a signal. Lower the eyes. Lower the eyes and guard your modesty. Well, this is the way the American people do. We look at each other, we shake hands, we hug. No, not here we don't. We don't shake hands with women, and we don't hug them. But we went to college together. We went to high school together from a distance. Man, you want to shake the man's hand? Fine, shake it. But that woman you used to know, you don't shake her hand. You don't hug her. You say, I'm sorry. You know, I know we went to high school together, but I'm a Muslim now. And Muslim men just don't shake the hands of women. I shake the hand of my wife, my daughter, my mother, my aunt, my grandmother. But I'm not permitted by Allah, the Lord of the world, to shake your hand. Have nothing against you. But I'm trying to be obedient to my Lord. Don't be so quick to put your hand out. And some Muslims really shocked me. I went to Washington, D.C. to be on a television program. And the producer of the program happened to be a woman, a young woman. An attractive woman. So she put her hand out for me to shake my hand. I went there with another Muslim from Washington area. And she put her hand out. I said, madam, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to offend you. But our culture as Muslims is different. And it is not our way to shake hands. And she said, okay. Then the brother from Washington puts his hand and kicks the girl's hand. So now, what does that make me? The contradiction. I know we don't want to offend people. You're right, we don't. Sometimes we play some predicaments. You don't want to make people feel bad for you. Just shake your hand. But don't let that be the way. I know Muslim men, not only do they not refuse the hand of women, they initiate, they put their hands out. I saw a time once when a Muslim man put his hand out to a non-Muslim woman. She said, oh, I understand Muslim men don't shake non-women's hands. Isn't that embarrassing? He got embarrassed because a non-Muslim reminded him of his faith. And then, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, I read a book here. It's called Stalemate. Stalemate. The truth about extramarital affairs. SubhanAllah. And I don't have time because it's not our topic. If you go to this book, 260 pages, everything they're talking about why men and women commit adultery, all the reasons, all of them, you find they violated some Quran or some hadith. All of them. The nature of this society, putting men and women together on the workforce, working together close, this is not Islam. So brothers and sisters, we have to have a revolution of ideas in this society. We have to change it. Does that mean we have to take all our wives and put them in the home? No, not necessarily. But it does mean that we have to protect them. If they're going to work outside the house, we've got to protect them, brothers. Hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you. Because if you don't, we're going to have massive adultery right in the Muslim Ummah. Why? Because you do not commit adultery because you're Muslim. You do not commit adultery because you follow the Quran and the Sunnah. And you don't put yourself in position where you can commit fornication and adultery. Sister, if you're a woman, outside the house, you're on the job, you don't be in the face of men. You don't be in the office alone with a man. You don't be laughing and giggling with a man in your job. If your husband was there, you wouldn't be doing that. But now, brothers, we got a problem. You know what the problem is? We stay on our wife's case. What you doing talking to that man? Why are you in the face of that man? Why are you laughing with that man? But you laughing with Susie on the job. You in the face of the women on your job. What's good for the geese, good for the gander. It's not just for the women, it's for the men. Somehow men think it's all right for the men to talk to the women on their job, but your wife can't talk to the men on their job. No, not like that, brother. Islam is not like that. All of us have to adhere to the Quran and Sunnah and don't seclude yourself with the opposite sex. It's wisdom. Because Allah knows. He knows. So He protects us, our protection, adhering to Quran and Sunnah. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this, and then we're going to conclude on the topic that I want to say. The danger with this ummah is that we don't get enough Quran and Sunnah in our lives. We don't read the Quran enough. We don't apply it enough. We don't understand it enough. We don't teach it enough. And the problem is, we are reading and getting a steady diet of non-Islamic material. Now, I read. I love to read. I read material because I want to see what these people are thinking. But you know what? My flashlight is the Quran. I read these books with the flashlight of the Quran because these books contain darkness and poison. And if you don't know how to discern the darkness and the poison, you read the novel, read the book, and get the poison inside of you, and then begin to adhere to the philosophy of the author of that book. Or you turn on the TV and watch a program. So-called experts begin to say things, and you take that expert opinion and adopt it as your own, and you don't have the criterion of the Quran to say, this goes against Quran. I'll give you an example. We had a young man years ago, young brother, Muslim brother. He had a little psychological problem. So he went to psychologist. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't mind Muslims going to Muslim psychologists. But I'm a little bit concerned about going to non-Muslim psychologists. Why?
Because these non-Muslim psychologists sometimes will give you information that goes contrary to Quran and Sunnah. Young man here, unmarried, at the time he was about 19, 20 years old. And the psychologist said, oh, I know what your problem is, Mr. Muhammad. Your problem is that you are repressing your sexual drive. You need to go out there and get a woman. But I'm not married. Don't make no difference. Go on out and get a woman, man. That's your problem. And you know, this is the kind of advice psychologists are giving to Muslim men and women. Advice that goes against Quran and Sunnah. So brothers and sisters, whenever you go, psychologist, philosopher, author of a book, producer of a television, radio program, listen, watch it. But watch from a discerning eye. How you do that? Like of Quran. Wallahi, I read books. And listen, subhanAllah, I see something in that book in conformity with Quran. I go right to the verse. I say, wow, sit there and witness what Allah said in Quran. Or I read something in the book, I say, astaghfirullah, that goes directly against what Prophet Muhammad said. But you got to read Quran first, and then read books. Some of us read books and don't read Quran. Read books and literature, but don't read hadith. And then wonder why they're misguided. خَلَقُمْ مَنْ تَعْلَمَ الْقُرْآنِ وَعَلَّمَ. The best of you is he and she who learns Quran and teach it. Teach it to everyone around you. Teach it to your wives, teach it to your husbands, teach it to your children. That Quran and Sunnah. I close, brothers and sisters, and remind you, brothers, as I remind myself, the Quran is in the nature of the man and the woman. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ وَبِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. The men are the maintainers, protectors, and providers of the women, because Allah has given one more than the other. Give preference to one over above the other in that regard of leadership, and because he spends out of his wealth. Cool. The philosophical, spiritual, civil war. I want to emphasize that again, but I want to add another dimension to that. Right now, there is an absolute, ferocious battle and war taking place right in the family, among the Muslims, especially between husband and wife. We've been talking to the imams lately, we've been talking together, analyzing this phenomenon. In great abundance, I can tell by my schedule each day how many Muslim couples come to my office. The list now is long. How many call me? Home. Down in the morning, late at night. Do you know what it's like to receive a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning and on the other end is the husband and wife arguing and fighting? This is not unusual for me. This is becoming the norm. And I talked to the other imams. Is it just me? No. It's universal. Something is happening. What is it? I told you about 2 months ago that there is a civil war taking place in the Muslim Ummah.